this morning. Amen. This is Pastor Bobby Sutton and Darlene Sutton. We're here at Calvary Ministries with Answers from the Book. Remember, Calvary Ministries, you can call us at the church at 970-408-0448. You can also talk to us at email with cmog80633@gmail.com. We are physical building at 1002 19th Avenue in Greeley. Sundays at 11 a.m. You can come and visit us if you'd like. But this is Answers from the Book. We're here at KFKA 1310. And we have our great engineer, Micah, with us. We appreciate him so much coming in this early in the morning. But you can call us on the air at 970-353-1310, and we'll answer questions. That's what this is all about, this broadcast, this Answer from the Book. Maybe you have some questions you'd like to talk about. Sometimes people have questions. They can't ask their pastor. They forget to talk about it at church. Or sometimes you just want to be anonymous and ask, you know, I've been in groups, you've been in groups, Darlene, and people go, well, this may be a stupid question, but you know the answer to that is there are no stupid questions.
No, and especially when people are in a church setting, it's not conducive, it's not the right setting to put your hand up and go, can you slow down? Can you repeat that? So sometimes in a church service, you don't get those. And sometimes then some people will feel, even if a small group, like a Bible study, sometimes they'll go, well, maybe that'll be a better setting. And it is, because you can ask those questions. But then there are some that don't even do that because they're afraid that, well, I should know this and I don't want to feel dumb. So I just want to ask a question. So this is a great opportunity to call in. You don't have to say your name. You just can say, here's a question that's been bugging me.
Right.
Or maybe as a Christian that your walk has not been maybe as strong as it needs to be. And we all suffer from emotional self-talk that it can be detrimental.
Absolutely.
So when we're in that mode, we tend to isolate, and we need to have those truths that the Bible gives to us of how to live a fulfilled, abundant life.
Amen. And also, we are Calvary Ministries is non-denominational. We're not in affiliation with any denomination. You know as well as I do, there's hundreds of denominations, different ideas, different people have different interpretations of the scripture. When the Bible says there's only really one interpretation, but so when you ask us a question, we're going to give you what we think is the answer to from our standpoint of our understanding of the scriptures. There are some things that are open to discussion. Let's take, for instance, the rapture. A lot of people have, there's pre-trib, there's mid-trib, there's preterism, there's post-trib, there's different ideas on eschatology. And when we you ask us about that, we'll tell you what we think. But that's one of the points of studying for yourself, finding out where you stand. Some things are set in stone. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God? Yes, I do. Do you believe he came to earth to die for our sins? Yes, I believe that. And you need to believe that. If you don't, then this is a perfect program for you. But what we're trying to do here also is to reach out to people that maybe you feel like you've drifted so far away from God that you can't get back. And I've talked about my past, my book, I Slept with Potiphar's Wife, a ministry of 25 years, had an affair in 1999, left the ministry for six till 2006. During that time, I did domestic violence counseling and court-appointed, and in California, I was a sheriff's deputy. And let me just stop right here and say there was a situation that happened yesterday, and we want to give our appreciation to Officer Patterson and the Greeley Police Department for stepping in and doing a courtesy check on somebody. And we were alerted and were able to go in and stop a situation that could have really been bad. And we're grateful to the police department and the emergency responders, all you guys. If you are a first responder, a nurse, or any of these people, our hearts are open to you. We'll gladly help you in any way we can at Calvary Ministries. My wife and I are both life coaches. I have a master's degree in counseling. Whatever you need, if we can help you do it, we'll be glad to do it because we appreciate what you're doing out there. We appreciate everybody for taking their part. And I understand being a deputy in Louisiana going through the academy, and I spent 3 years. You say, well, that's not that long. That's long enough for me to understand that it's a terrible situation sometimes you find yourself in, and it's a hard job, let's just say that. Mm-hmm. Plus, I did my title was crisis-oriented psychiatric evaluator. That sounds real extreme, but I did that from 11 to 7 in a hospital doing evaluations on people that came in with suicidal tendencies, or some of them were just flat-out psychotic. They had a psychotic break, and so I understand the hospital arena also, mm-hmm. and emergency room, and so we want to help you if we can. If you are feeling low, feeling down, if any way we can talk to you and help you get a firm foundation and a firm standing, then we'd be glad to do that. But today we're dealing with issues of life. Like I'm going through this book, and I just read a little note I had on the bottom of this page about stumbling, and my question last week was, do you remember your conversion? Have you matured since that time, and do you have a ministry? There may be people out there we're talking to that used to be in the ministry. Mm-hmm. Because it depends on what statistics you read. 600 to 1,200 or 1,500 ministers a month, that's a month now, leave the ministry for whatever reason. Some of it's moral situation, some of it's burnout, some
that's
of it's
extreme.
Just tired, you know, whatever. But there's another startling fact that I didn't realize. 3,500 people a month leave the church.
Oh, my goodness.
That's pretty startling when you think about that. Whatever reason, people get tired, people get upset, mm-hmm. people get upset. JoJo spoke about my wife, or Irene didn't like my dress, or whatever reason. There's a lot of reason people leave churches. And the thing is, there's lots of churches out there.
True.
So find a place. Mm-hmm. Don't let somebody interrupt you in your relationship with God. And then you have the question that comes up, why do I have to go to church? Well, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see that day approaching. Mm-hmm. There is a reason to go to church. Number one is you hear the preaching of the word.
Amen. Yeah. It's too hard, or it's a lie from the enemy that says, I can read my Bible and I don't have to go to church and I am a good person and that's all they need.
Yes.
What I was thinking of an analogy, you know, in a healthy relationship with another person, you know, in a marriage, the way God condoned it to be, in a healthy relationship, marriage is similar, marriage and single. Single is life without Christ. You don't have any boundaries. You don't have responsibilities. A single person, you're just kind of free as a bird. You kind of just – you don't have to adhere to anybody or consider them. Or when you're single, you're just by yourself, and it's all about you.
Right.
It's just – that's all it is.
Yep.
In a marriage, a healthy relationship – you are connected to that person. You communicate with him. You have this life together. So as a Christian, when someone says, well, why do I need Christ? Because it is a fulfillment of everything you can possibly think as God designed it.
Right.
So I was kind of looking this week as I was thinking of last week's message you were talking about, and that question that came up from one of our callers was, well, why do I need church? Why do I need God?
Right.
And so I thought about that. So it's like a wonderful, good marriage and a single. And it's not that not be single is wrong. It just means that I'm giving the analogy of when you are there, the considerations or relationship
different.
Is different. Mm. And so it's a way for someone to connect.
Yep.
So if they're looking at, oh, I understand that now. And yes, I do want that. So if you are single, you can actually have this wonderful relationship.
Yes.
And was it Paul or Peter that said something about if you don't need to get married, then don't, or something
it was
like
Paul? Yeah,
Paul?
He said if you can control yourself,
yeah.
or don't need to get married, don't do it.
Right. So I'm just saying that there's a wonderful connection that people don't want to miss.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss out. You know, when you can have a testimony from a couple who've been married for 55 years or 65 years, you know, and you say, what worked for you?
Yep.
It's because they found the right recipe.
That's right.
They found it. And that's what we strive for as Christians. We have found that.
Yeah.
But if for 3,500 people who have left the church, somehow
there's a disconnect.
Yes. That relationship was not as healthy.
No.
And so that's what we're seeking to offer to people, to give them that direction, that path.
Well, and if you don't, you feel like, well, I don't need to be there. There's a preaching of the word. I mean, 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, and I'm reading out of the King James, for after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Berean literal Bible says, for since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of proclamation to save those believing. So you're saving people that are lost, that by preaching, the word of God comes into their heart and they are ignited into faith. Also, you're saving people that come to church. Now, I think people need to have their own relationship with God. You need to find a place, find a time, read the Bible, get the word inside, because the word of God is a spiritual book. You feed, all of us like to feed our physical man. You need to feed your spiritual man.
Mm-hmm.
Your spiritual man is fed through the preaching of the word. And if you're in a church, through the anointing. If you're not a churchgoer, the word anointing just means to pour over or to rub on. It's just talking about the Spirit of God that comes on a preacher when he's giving you the Word of God. And the book of Ephesians, or I think it's Ephesians, it talks about Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and he gave gifts unto men. He talks about the fivefold ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And all of those were given as gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So through the preaching of the word, each one of these offices, and I believe in the fivefold ministry. I still believe in apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Some churches do not. I do. People get upset about the word apostle. The word apostle just simply means one. Google it yourself. Look it up in the Greek. Don't just take my word for it. It just means one that's sent. It doesn't mean that a person that fills the office today of an apostle is a person that's one of the 12 apostles.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any right to add or take away from this book. And the book of Revelation says that. The curse is going to fall on a man that adds or takes away from the words of this book. So we don't add. If you're an apostle, you don't add scripture. And if you're a prophet, you don't say, thus saith the Lord, and write down what the Lord's saying to you.
No,
these are proclamations. And prophecy sometimes is just the preaching of the word, proclaiming the word.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get hung up on the titles. Nobody has trouble with pastors or evangelists or teachers, but they've struggled with the first two.
Well, but there are also people who walk among us,
mm-hmm.
who have made decisions, or they have acted as such, and it's a fleshly, or carnal,
right.
I'm Apostle Darlene.
Right.
I don't need that title, and nor would I ever do that. But there are some that need to be loved and understood. The fact that this is
right.
My thought was going somewhere else, but basically, you know, I don't, like you said. Titles, people can attach to a title,
right?
And then it gets all misconstrued.
Of course it does, and people get afraid of it, and they wonder, well, I don't want to listen to this person. And you know, you got to have some sense,
right?
Just because you get born again doesn't mean you lose your mind. It's just like just because you get old, you don't go crazy. I mean, people take advantage of elderly people, and I thought to myself, well, just because you get old, you don't lose your senses. And you get born again, make sure that you're – and this is the onus is on us as individuals. Watch who you're listening to.
This is true.
Watch who you're talking to.
That's right.
If something hits you wrong, you know, in the New Covenant, the New Testament, the New Covenant here, we have the Spirit inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit is to guide us. In fact, the Bible says you have no need of any man teach you. And a lot of people use that for, I don't need to go to church because nobody needs to teach me. Well, that just simply means there are some things you need to know yourself.
True.
And if you hear somebody preaching something that's out of it, not in this book, well, then don't listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's misconstrued, like you just said, or if it's twisted,
mm-hmm.
read it for what it says, you know, and go in the direction it needs to go. Watch out for extremes. There's a great preacher years ago, Kenneth Hagin. Some people like him, some people don't. I enjoyed listening to his preaching, and Kenneth would say, stay in the middle of the road. Don't get too, if you go off from one side of the road, you're going to fall in the ditch. Go on the other side of the road, you're going to fall in the ditch. Get in the middle. Stay balanced.
There you go.
Also, I would caution you, and, you know, this is just Bob speaking, so just take it for what it is. This is not even written in the book of Bob. This is just, this is just me rattling off. But watch who you listen to on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are people out there that don't like this group and don't like that group and don't like this group. And they got reasons why this person's of the devil and that person's of the devil. Seem like they throw those terms out. You know, listen to them for yourself and find your own foundation in the Word of God. Now, if you don't have a foundation in the Word of God and you do want to go through a Bible study, we offer home Bible studies.
Amen.
This is all free. We don't charge anything for this. But give a home Bible study. Go through the whole Bible in 12 lessons. Help you get a grinding for the truth, also a grounding for the truth. You can ask questions, you know. If you have any questions this morning, 970-353-1310, answer from the book, give us a call, and we'll be glad to talk to you. We're going through I Slept with Potiphar's Wife. We did these teachings in restoration services. Mm-hmm. One of the chapters here is, we talked about conversion, you know, if you were converted or not, you know, when you were born again. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. There's a scripture that you can go in the middle of the road, you can go fall off on either side. You can go off into hyper grace, where, okay, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and then I can just live like the devil, and I'm fine, you know. Be careful with that attitude,
right?
Because that could get you in a bad spot, so Don't fall off the side of the road. It's just you are saved through grace. Do you remember your conversion experience? Do you have you matured since that time, which you should have?
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a ministry? Maybe we're talking to people out there today that maybe you did have a ministry. Maybe you're like myself, that you fell out of grace or fell out of the organizational grace.
Mm-hmm.
You never fall out of God's grace.
Never.
And that's what we're talking about here. You can come back to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This book, and I don't have that many of them left, but I'll give you one of them if you'd like it. I Slept with Potiphar's Wife. It was freely given to me. The Bible says freely you've received, freely give. And this book, I wrote it, and then I didn't have money to self-publish, which is about anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000. I just put it away, and then I got a call from a company, and they published. They signed me as an author, which I am a signed author. And a publisher, and they signed me as an author, and they published the book. And so I give them away, basically, because, like I said, I got it for free. They didn't charge me a dime to do it. So it's just a small book, maybe 100 pages, maybe at the most. But in the book, we talk about stumbling. 1 John 2:1-2 says, my little children, these things write out unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. So the Bible says we may sin. And if you're a Christian, been living through Christ any length of time, if you say, I don't sin, then you're whacked out. Let's just put it that way, because there's something wrong here. We all sin. We can't. I mean, we're carnal people. We're in a carnal body. We have natural things. But he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So what do? You repent. So people get caught up, too, with the word repentance. Repentance just simply means a change of mind, a turning around. Look it up. Google it. Look on Thayer's. Look on the Strong's. Look on all these places, and it'll just tell you it's a change of mind. Old-time Pentecostal people used to believe if you repent, you had to stay at the altar and cry and weep for like 45 minutes at least, and they needed to see a change in your face. And there were a lot of stipulations in that realm. Repentance just means I'm not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm changing my mind. I'm sorry that I did this, and I follow the grace of God, and I ask you to cleanse me from my sin, and I'm going a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make up your mind to go that different direction.
Yeah. Well, and you bring up a good point as far as making a decision. A question came in, and it was about COVID-19 depression.
Mm.
And they're listing the scripture in Luke 1. Looks like verse 78 and 79. And it reads, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow and to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the question basically is, finding that strength in God.
Mm-hmm.
But when our heart is weak,
yeah,
and we have hit loss, we have hit the wall of pain of something in our life, but loss hits us, the grief hits mm-hmm. us so hard, and now we've got COVID. And so if you would speak a little bit about that, she's asking just to kind of add some insight.
Somebody text you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. All right.
And so that's basically is to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Right.
Because, like I said, if the guiding, if your spirit is strong and you can be guided mm-hmm. to get the peace, but if our heart's already hurt and broke, how do we find that guidance? Because we're so heavy laden, and so the COVID-19 depression has hit so many people.
Yes. Well, one thing is don't isolate. Isolation is dangerous, and it's deadly.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched any of these National Geographics where the predator, whatever it might be, is trying to get a meal, and it isolates something from the herd?
Oh, it does. You're
right. And when it isolates you, then it attacks you,
mm-hmm.
and it attacks you in all kind of different ways. So don't isolate. Find somebody, friends, a family member. Find somebody you can speak to and talk to, pray with, because there's a lot of people that have the COVID depression.
Right.
And it's because they feel isolated.
Right.
Now,
right.
We're here in Colorado, and you can go out here and you can be around people. There are strict guidelines.
Sure,
wear a mask. They sanitize stuff. But mm-hmm. you still can get out amongst folk.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of technology here, too, that yeah. is good for you. Get on, watch TBN. Find something uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would, because you got to get your mindset out of that dark spot.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting in the what is that? Sitting in the shadow of death.
It was Luke
yeah,
1,
right.
70,
and so
79.
They're sitting there. Don't sit there, number one. So the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day sprang on them that had visited us to give them. Okay, so why did the day spring from on high? It sprung on high to give light to them that sit in darkness. So there's light. Number one, in the Word of God, there's light. Get into the Word of God. Get into the book of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Find praise scriptures. In fact, I'm going to be talking this morning at church about some more about praise. Praise is a powerful weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You're not praising God for COVID, and you're not praising God for your depression,
no.
but you're praising God for who He is.
Praise God.
And so when you begin to open up and put some praise music on,
it helps a lot.
And dance to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. You say, well, I've tried some of that. It didn't work. It will work if you continually do it.
Push through.
Just like if you want to be a bodybuilder, if you want to build body, you get out there and you start lifting. Well, if you start lifting and the first day you look at your bicep and it looks the same as it did.
And it hurts.
And it hurts. So you continue to do it.
Right.
Your spirit man is strong, and your spirit man will bring you out of depression. Excuse me, because if you are a child of God, you always have the Spirit of God with you.
Always.
You cannot be, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot be without God. What right. blocks you, you're a three partition person. You are a spirit. You live, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So when you're born again, your spirit comes alive to God. God's Spirit is inside you. It's never, ever not inside you. Can't be. You're sealed up. It says
mm-hmm.
that it's there. So if you can tap into that, and sometime you need somebody, don't call the person that's going to moan with you and bring you down further. It's like the old story where the counselor's driving along and sees a man on the edge of the cliff, and he thinks he's going to jump off. So he goes up to the man and says, come walk with me. And they walk around the parking lot or whatever it is for a while, and then they go back to the edge of the cliff and they both jump off.
Oh, gosh.
Don't find somebody like that. Find somebody that can lift you up. Give us a call. 970-408-0448. Write us an email. If you're struggling with COVID depression, call us. We'll talk to you, and we're going to talk to you about the goodness and greatness of God.
Amen.
And how. And you say, "Well, you've never been depressed."
Oh,
we read this
yes.
book. This book is—I forgot what chapter it's in—but I sat on the side of the bed with a .38 in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know what it's like to get to that spot.
Well, our daughter. You know, yes. your stepdaughter, my
right.
daughter,
right.
Passed away
yes.
and is no longer with us.
No.
So I have the pain of a loss of a child.
Sure.
And so that allows me the ability to share my testimony of the immense peace
yes.
that God bestowed upon us.
Right.
And so it is. It, you know, you can talk to one next door. They haven't had lost a child or they haven't had a moral failure. They're not going to understand.
Right.
And so when someone says, "You will not understand my pain. You don't know why I'm acting this way or I feel this way." You don't. So no one can help me.
Right. Well, if you go there, you're going to be more depressed.
Mm-hmm.
If you shut the door and say, "No one can help me." Now, I can't help. I don't know your particular feelings. It's like you've lost your daughter, our stepdaughter, a little bit. We lost her. We didn't lose her. We know where she is. She's
Amen.
In heaven with
yes,
the Lord.
We do.
She just did a translation and moved into a spiritual realm.
Right.
But the idea is if you shut yourself off and say, "No one can help me," well, then no one can help you.
Right.
But if you reach out to people
That's right.
and
That's
don't
right.
don't let yourself be isolated, then we can help you because
Amen.
Jesus Christ came here to give us light in a dark place.
And that's why we're here. You know, the KFKA saw the vision
yes.
and said, "You know what? We don't have a type of life. Someone who's getting up at, you know, oh dark 100
That's right.
and being here to bring the light
yes.
and to have a connection." And we have the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Calvary Ministries of Greeley on Facebook. And
every Tuesday and Thursday, we do something there. And,
yep. But we did a boost. It was kind of weird because the boost, I wasn't able to get
the localized.
And so we have people from New York.
We have 854 people that have opened up that thing, you know.
And so, you know, there are people in every stage where it's, you know, whether it's this gal who's talking about the COVID depression, or people who have had loss because
yes,
of people who
absolutely,
died.
Absolutely.
We have a friend, dear
right.
friend.
Reuben Baxter. We know him well.
That passed away from COVID.
Great
and
man.
And so you've got even our responders that
yes.
are just, they are just as hurting and human as the rest of us. Just because they have a role doesn't mean that they are fighting the
right.
same exact emotions.
And you may say, "Well, how did you come out of that with sitting there with the gun in your mouth?" Well, the Lord speaks to me in very personal and straight up ways. He
mm-hmm.
says, "Bob, go ahead and shoot yourself and let your family find you here. Add one more trauma to their life." Now you say, "Well, that was coarse." Well, God knows how to ring my bell, and He knows how to talk. If He won't, He may talk to you in sweet ways and bring you along. He's got to talk to me directly, and that's what I understand, and that's cool. I don't mind. I don't have a problem with that. And it rattled me enough to where
it
I said,
did.
"Look, I'm not going to do this.
Praise
you know, that
God.
Would be a stupid thing to do. Let's live with the consequences." You,
mm-hmm.
if you ever read any Louis L'Amour's old Western stories, he would say, "You wrote the music, now dance." And so I wrote the music and I danced to it. You know, that's just
yeah.
the way it worked. But if you are depressed, number one, do not isolate. And plus, prayer. Hey, give us a call. Give us an email. We'll put you down in prayer, folks. It works.
Yes,
you're talking
it does.
To God.
Yes, it does.
And you're bringing your request to the Lord, and He will answer your prayer. So if you need help, we believe in prayer. We believe in laying on of hands. We'll
mm-hmm.
come to your house and pray the spirit of depression mm-hmm. off of you, you know. I mean, because I believe that works. So we will attack that thing through
mm-hmm.
prayer and the Word of God and give you some scriptures to meditate
mm-hmm.
on. Because really what's going on in your mind is in the counseling world, they call it regurgitation and rumination. So you're ruminating on all these negative things. What's happened, Satan comes along and he speaks to you
mm.
because demonic powers are out there and they speak to you. And what they're here is to steal, kill, and destroy. So he
sure.
wants to steal your joy. He wants to destroy your peace. And ultimately, he wants to kill you.
That's right. He
That's
does.
His plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the idea is don't let that happen to you. So if you're having COVID depression, number one, don't isolate.
Number, yeah.
Find somebody to talk to that's uplifting. Don't go talk to Aunt Sarah if she's a downer, or Uncle Joe if he's whatever. Don't find somebody that's uplifting. If you don't have anybody in your circle, call us.
Yes, yes.
I'm positive. My wife is positive. Yeah. My blood type is A positive.
That's right. I'm O positive.
So we'll help you any way we can. We'll talk you through it. We'll pray with you. We'll do whatever we can do. But don't let yourself slip into that dark spot.
Well, and one of the reasons I think that people will, like in the book, they stay in the cave because they don't want. They don't want any more shame.
No.
They're their worst critic.
That's terrible.
And so they don't want the shame. So I don't want to tell anyone my secrets.
Right.
I really fouled up.
Right.
And so the condemnation is so great that I don't want anyone to know.
Right.
And so then there you go. The isolation comes. So that's why for calling us, the judgment's not there.
No, we don't.
God
judge,
does not
man.
Judge that.
Yeah, well,
he doesn't.
We're not judging
he gives conviction. That's just a change of heart.
Yes.
Condemnation. Holy cow! That's from the pit of hell.
That's right. So, we had a situation a while back. My wife and I were working in the same place, and a fellow was working with her, and I thought he didn't treat her right, and it was not a good situation, and so I confronted him. About it, because that's how I am, and this is my wife, and I'm supposed to protect her. And although she don't need my protection, I felt like I'm old school. I felt like I needed to help her. So what was interesting, when I confronted the person in a private situation, he came to me and says, "I know all about you. I Googled you, and they kicked you out of the church for what you did." And I laughed. I said, "Well, everybody knows it. I got a book. I wrote the whole thing in a book." So
his power was gone.
I stole his thunder because he thought he was going to really hit me with that. Well, here it is. Read it. I'll tell you all about it. I'm transparent in that aspect because that's the way it worked. God said, do this, put it out there. So the idea is you might have a dark secret. This is what restoration's all about.
It is.
You don't have to tell it to the world. You don't have to get on a radio and broadcast to whoever's listening or write it in a book.
No.
You don't have to do that, but sometimes it's good to confess your, and I, you know, seems to me that there is an answer in this book.
Yes, there is.
Confess your faults one to another.
Why?
You know?
And this is why we have answers from the book, because when someone says, well, the answers are in the book, well, it's a pretty big book, and unless you spend years and years and years studying it, how do you find the exact one? That's why, you know, call us. So it's 970-353-1310. Call in or just send a private email if that's what you want for cmog8063@gmail.com.
Wow, you don't even have to read the paper.
I wrote the paper.
You got that stuff in your brain. I'm trying to find that scripture when it talks about confess your faults one to another. I think it's in James here somewhere. But listen, be careful who you confess your faults to.
This is true, and that's where I think some of the high number, holy cow, of people who leave the church who've gotten hurt. The pain is so deep. The condemnation that comes from Bible. The verse says, "Ye who are spiritual,
restore such a one."
Mm-hmm. So we are to help restore those who have fallen, who are hurt, who have fallen with depression. Depression does not mean you're a bad Christian.
No.
Oh my goodness.
No.
You know, so I'm supposed to have joy and I'm depressed. Well,
right.
I guess I'm not a good Christian. That is a lie from the pit of hell.
Right. And you do have joy. It's just
absolutely
locked up in your spirit.
It is. It is.
And your soul and your emotions get attacked by the devil, and it cuts off the spiritual flow.
He's going to lie to you. He's going to lie to you that you don't have it. He's going to lie to you that you're not a good Christian.
James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Be careful who you confess your sins to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't confess them to Brother Jojo, who's going to blast it all over everywhere. Knew who you're talking to. And if you're a preacher, let me just get on the preacher for a minute. If you're a preacher and you go blab out your private conversations with your saints, then you need to change your ways, man. And one of the worst problems with preachers I found in the organization I was with is when you're with a bunch of preachers, they want to talk to you about the issues in your church. And I had preachers say, well, you know, what's going on in your church? And I'd say nothing. Everything in my church is good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in that. You know, the confessional.
It's also negative.
Yeah. And we're not priest. We don't have a confessional booth. But when someone's talking to you about their private things in their life, don't
That's
go blabbing
right.
it to people.
That's right.
But if you don't want to talk to your pastor, which you should feel comfortable doing that, but if you don't, talk to somebody you know that's spiritual, and you know if they're spiritual
mm-hmm.
or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she was quoting in Galatians 6:1. Ye that are spiritual, ye that are spiritual. So you got carnal people, and you got don't go blab, give your personal information to a carnal person. They're going to use it against you, and they're also going to tell everybody everywhere.
And that's what the pain is. And so the stumbling block that Peter talked about. I'm getting it all confused.
That's okay. Just don't.
But the point of if they are going to take a stand or have a strong presence, mm-hmm. they need to have their flesh out of the way.
Oh, definitely.
And so that's what the carnal person is.
Yes.
So yes, they attend church,
led by the flesh,
and so they their focus, their goal, they have a wheat and tares,
yes,
but they have ulterior motives. There are people
yes.
that will attend a church. People will go and I want to find a mate. And so they go to church because they feel like they're going to get a good woman or a good man there.
That's not a bad place.
Well, no, but if your intention is only to go for that
right,
reason.
That's the wrong reason.
That's the wrong reason.
Yeah.
So they leave because they weren't trying to go find God.
No.
Or people will leave maybe because, well, so-and-so hurt me, so I'm not going. Well, were you going there for them or
no.
for God?
Now, it's hard, though, when your feelings get hurt. All right, let's put on some praise music, Brother Micah. Hit us with the Doobie Brothers. Jesus is just all right. Praise the Lord while it's his own. Jesus is just all right. Put on your dancing shoes. Lift your hands. Worship the Lord. all right, Jesus is just all right. And you say, well, I don't know about that kind of music. Well, the Bible says praise Him on the stringed instruments. And that's what these dudes are doing. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know all things about the Doobie Brothers, tell you the truth. Their name kind of gives you an idea, unless their last name is Doobie, which I don't think it is. You know, they're talking probably about a joint or smoking dope. But and some people say, well, I heard that they were Christians at one point, and they were praise singers. I researched that. I didn't get that impression. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that anywhere. That song was actually written in the 60s by a preacher, a religious person. Mm. Jesus is just all right. Well, the Doobie Brothers liked the way it sounded. I read a little article about that. They just, so maybe they weren't Christian, but the idea is that song is still preaching Christ.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're praising Him on the guitar. Yeah, I mean, you're praising God on a Gibson. That's not bad. You know, or a Strat or a Paul Reed Smith or whatever you're praising Him on. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows what David did out there with the sheep when he was praising God. He might have had some upbeat tunes. We don't know about that. Mm-hmm. You know? The Bible is talking here about, we're going through this and we're talking about finding your place back to God. And in Psalms 51, David starts off, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. And that scripture you talked about and Luke talks about his tender mercies. So
right.
God's tender mercy, He wants to blot out your transgression.
He does.
God is not looking for ways to people to go to hell.
No way.
I mean, the whole reason He came here and died on the cross was to save us mm-hmm. from death. Mm-hmm. And people bring this question up a lot. Well, why is God sending people to hell? God is not sending people to hell. Romans chapter 5, if you read that chapter, because of Adam and Eve's sin, death passed upon all men. They sinned. The carnal nature was created. They were stripped of their glory with God.
Right.
And through propagation and through children, the sin nature comes upon us. Therefore, we are doomed. And so God looks down and says, I don't want this to happen to my creation, so I'm going to find a way. And He came here and sacrificed His blood so we could be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the will of God that any would perish. In fact, that's written in the book.
Right.
It's not will. God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So all God's asking you to do is change your mind, look at His mercy and His love. In fact, in Psalms 51, it says, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not desire. He's looking at the words here, broken spirit. If you research that in the Hebrew, it goes back to a birth.
Hmm.
It goes back to a bringing out of, like a birth.
Okay.
And so what God did with me through His Spirit was He took me back to my birth, my spiritual birth.
Yeah, because you talk about several times you have talked about how you had to rebuild your theology. You had to rebuild, you know, and you had to put grace in the relationship.
Yes.
Because before it was known, but not presented.
Not preached.
No.
Not preached, no. No, grace preaching, and a lot of people don't preach grace because they're afraid of it. There's rules and regulations. You got to follow these rules and regulations, and it's legalism, actually. And I preached it.
Yeah.
So, like I mentioned last week, if you're an apostolic that's away from God and you know what I'm talking about, and you're still struggling with that condemnation because you're not dressing right, you're not looking right, you're not acting right, all of these do's and don'ts, I'm not telling you not to live holy. But holiness is not the way you look. Holiness is in your heart.
Amen.
Holiness is what the Spirit does through you to bring you out of the world. Love not the world, neither the things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
For any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. So you can't love the world and be a part of the world. But also, it's not about dressing right and acting right and all of these things. It's letting the Spirit move you from a place of worldliness where everything in the world attracts me to a place where everything in God attracts me.
Well, you know, there's a back in the when I was doing a lot of computer programming, garbage in is garbage out.
Right.
So you know, you listen to music, you love the dancing, you love being able to do that. Well, people who go dancing, there's a whole lot of body language that's being exercised,
right.
and so it's a matter of, Is that holy? I can dance the same way in our home,
absolutely.
and that's okay. But I'm not trying to entertain where I shouldn't be doing. So
yeah, and if you're out clubbing every night, shaking your booty to everybody, then you need to check your spirit.
That's right. Yeah.
That's not the will of God. And I'm not just talking about women. I'm talking about men. They shake their booties too. Mm-hmm. So don't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be feeding the flesh constantly and then have a place in the spirit.
No.
And then try to shake it all off by going to church one Sunday.
No.
On a Sunday morning. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Speak.
Well, I believe that the elements that are prevalent. We talked last week about people who I used the cage.
Right.
You know, people say there's too many rules. You know, you go to church or rules. Okay, so
right. So
and you talked about that. Well, what are you really going to do? Well,
what is it you want to do?
They want to drink and party and be promiscuous, and they want to have all the blessings of the Lord, but they want to do whatever their flesh wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they're talking about these rules, and so the analogy of the cage I felt was applicable.
Perfect.
And given to me.
Perfect.
Wasn't mine,
yeah.
But it was like the door's open. The bird can go out anytime he wants to go out.
But you also know that that is not satisfying.
No.
I was a hippie. Got a high school in 69. From 69 to 74, I did everything. I was the guy that if you had a pill and you didn't know what it was, you gave it to Bob because he would eat it to see what happened to him. I understand hallucinogenics. I understand smoking pot. I understand snorting coke. I understand getting drunk till you can't walk. I understand all those things. It doesn't do you any good.
Nope.
It doesn't help you any.
Nope.
Plus, listen, folks. Now, I'm not a downbeat type person, and I don't. But there is a consequence for living in sin.
Yes, there is.
And it's all going to hell. Hell is real. Now, you're not going to hear a lot of preaching about that from me,
mm-hmm.
because I don't stand in my pulpit and preach to the church folk that they're all going to hell, or because they're trying not to go there, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm trying not to do. Now, if you don't believe that. Then there's nothing I can do for you. If you just say, well, I don't believe in hell, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in that. Well, you're not the person we're talking to.
But, you know, isn't it also very common? People do believe in a heaven.
Oh,
They, you know, maybe that I have this place. Everyone who loses someone, they all will say they're in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about hell, it doesn't seem to have the same type of understanding, because they, I guess, either
right.
or people will joke about it, because it's easier to joke about, well, my friends will all be there, so we'll have a party.
Right.
And
yeah.
and they joke it off. Mm. But they can't attach to. So if you can't attach to angels and an invisible God that loves us with no strings attached.
Right.
And you don't want to believe that, but you'll watch Ghostbusters or you'll watch some ghost
supernatural
haunted
thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's just as in the same element. Remember that, right? Or wrong?
Yeah.
But I think they
and a lot of people today are watching all that stuff.
Yes.
And they like horror movies and they love to be scared. People crawling backwards over the top of the roof and all that. And if you're into that, that's okay, but feed your spirit.
Yeah.
You know, don't just feed your flesh. Mm-hmm. Don't just feed your flesh, because your flesh is not going to take you where you need to be in God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do find yourself in a hard spot, and everybody, I don't care who they are, mm-hmm. everybody, when they get in a hard spot, they cry out to God.
Well, and there are people who do not have hope. They have gone so far down to the pit that they are without hope.
Without hope.
And so now it's like, okay, so you've got this element and hope, which we all want.
Mm-hmm.
We all want it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like the person who is wanting to lose weight, but they're going to eat everything under the sun. So
right.
you want to feed
That's
your
true.
Flesh by eating everything,
right.
but you don't want to have the weight. So you have this conundrum.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like people who they want to have the blessings of God. They want to have the immense peace.
Yeah.
They want to have the outpouring of God's goodness and the abundance. They want all that.
Yep.
Oh, but can I get drunk and can I sleep around and can I? Sure.
But you're not going to have the blessing.
But you're, so you have to look at what is more important to you, feeding your flesh.
Or feeding your spirit.
Or feeding your spirit.
And let's clarify that. I don't mean you're not, when I said you're not going to get the blessing, God's not going to withhold anything from you. But the thing is, you're not going to find it.
But
you're not going to find it.
The consequences and pain.
Right.
So, you know, you hear that. How many reality shows are alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
And because people, they feed on the drama. They watch the soap operas because they feed on the promiscuous and the little attractions and the affairs. And they feed on that.
Yeah.
And that's a spiritual
that's
thing, by
feeding
golly.
Feeding your flesh. You got to have more power. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he can increase. The only way to increase your spirit is to get into the Bible, go to church, worship God, feed your spirit, and get some power from the Lord. And when if you're in all that other stuff, you're not gonna have a clear channel to God because your flesh becomes more powerful than your spirit. The point of being born again is so that you have a connection with the Lord, and so you can keep yourself from falling into these pits. And everybody, you can hear it from everybody. They can tell you, listen, read self-help books. Take religion out of it totally. And any self-help book will tell you to stay out of that stuff. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a good, healthy body, you can't be clubbing every night and drinking all kind of intoxicating beverages. You know, stay away from toxic relationships. If you're in counseling of any sort and you got a counselor that's worth his salt, they're going to tell you, get those toxic relationships out of you. If you're sitting in an office paying $200 an hour to talk to a therapist, the therapist is going to say, well, John is toxic. Get away from that toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So in the worldly sense, in psychology and counseling and psychiatry, now psychiatry is a whole different world because it's medication, but the idea, most of these people are going to try to help you get toxicity out of your life and get positive things in. Now, some people will listen to that before they'll listen to Scripture. But this book tells you constantly stay out of toxic situations. Mm-hmm. Get away from those people that are going to bring those things into your life. It's the same thing in the spirit. Cleanse your spirit of toxic things. Get into positive things.
This is the same thing with your body. So if you are a bodybuilder, you have a very, very strict regimen you have to do because you desire that physique. You desire that health. You and I both have clean eating.
Yeah.
And we follow, I
doTERRA.
Wouldn't say a regimen, but I do doTERRA. And so I work with healing. Sorry, I can't use the word healing. It supports. Your body can heal itself. God designed it so miraculously.
Yes.
It can heal itself, but we give it some help with and the oils that he provided.
Mm-hmm.
But health, it has so many benefits. So it takes.
You feel better, you act better, you think better.
Everything.
Your mind's clear. I used to weigh 310 pounds. Now I'm down to about 212.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things happened to cause that. I wouldn't recommend my way of losing that weight. But the idea is if you want to lose weight, you can, and it makes you feel better.
It does.
So how do you make your spirit feel better? You get into the Word. The only source of, from my standpoint as a Christian, the only source of spiritual power is the Word of God,
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So all of these things from the world are not life. They're death, mm-hmm. death, toxic. But the things of God are life. He preaches peace, transgression. Mm-hmm. I'll take your sins away. I'll throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. I don't even remember how you sinned. I'll wash you. David said, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Well, the problem was there. He didn't need his sin ever before him.
No, and that and that sin, the sin that comes before us, is regret. It's pain. It's loss. It's sadness.
Guilt.
Oh, it's just this plethora of things. And so it's like, okay, well, so in striving to have this life filled with hope and peace and goodness, and you know, there's a life that can be full.
Right.
And it can be healthy.
Yep.
And so rather and sin, people have found, especially if you 3,500 people leaving the church,
right.
Sin has come in or hurt or being offended has come in.
Yep.
But Satan has disguised it so beautiful and it looks so enticing.
Right. Appeals to the flesh.
Oh, it does. And surely this can't be harmful for me. So, right. You know, what's the big deal? You know, it's kind of like someone talking at their, they said, well, I have these brownies and they're, I'm going to put a little bit of poop in it. It's not that much, you know, but the cause I'm trying to get here is just a little bit. It's not that much. And so people will dabble in this little bit of the flesh.
Tomfoolery.
And it's not that bad. It's okay that they've justified that act. They've justified that this is okay to bring into my home.
Right.
People will buy something. We have a lady that we know we were coaching, and she called, and she was just having these weird dreams, very, very scary dreams to her. Trauma, basically. And basically she was calling and asking about this, and so we found out she had bought a certain kind of trunk. And it was antique. It had some weird things on it. But these dreams happened after this object came into her home.
Absolutely.
You open up your home with things, whether it's a horoscope.
Portal.
Well, they read their horoscope going, what should I do today?
Mm-hmm.
And thinking it's no big deal. But there's that little bit of goop in their brownie, just a little bit in there. And it's no big deal. They think it's funny. Or no, it's not.
No, it's not. Hebrews chapter 4 says, seeing then we have a high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let's hold fast of our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. He'll help you in a time of need. The Bible tells us that. He understands who we are. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, he knows we're just dirt. We're here every Sunday from 7 to 8. You can call in and talk to us, 353-1310. You can write us a text. We got an engineer there that'll help us bring it out. You can write us an email at cmog80633@gmail.com. Or you can call Calvary Ministries at 970-408-0448. Join us this morning. God bless you. Have a great day. And stay out of the dirt.
Don't isolate.
Let your spirit get strong and don't isolate.
Praise
God. Bless
God.
You.